On Friday, May 30th, 1806, two men took their positions 24 feet apart at Harrison Mills on the Red River in Logan County, Kentucky. Now, dueling was illegal in their home state, Tennessee, so these men had traveled across the state line to settle their differences, to get satisfaction. The first man's name, Charles Dickinson. He was known as the best shot in Tennessee, but Charles also had a reputation for his drunken heroics and reckless boasting. That was why he was here. What had started out as a dispute over a horse bet had resulted in Charles insulting the other man's wife. The other man? Andrew Jackson. Our seventh president was never a man who would back away from a fight, and he too was known for insults that offended. The duelists prepared to face the consequences that their tongues had gotten them into. "Are you ready?" asked Jackson second. "I'm ready," shouted Dickinson. "I'm ready," replied Jackson. "Fire!" Dickinson was the quicker and fired first. The ball caught Jackson square in the chest. Jackson grabbed his chest as a puff of dust arose from his jacket. But he remained standing. Dickinson was horrified. He yelled, "Have I missed him?" and took a step back. "Back to the mark, sir!" And the second pointed his gun at the dumbstruck Dickinson. Dickinson slowly returned to the mark with the realization that he was now at Jackson's mercy. He knew Jackson might fire into the air or even refuse a shot. Many a duel had been decided like this before, with both men deciding that no one should die and they could come to an agreement that would save both life and honor. But Jackson had promised with his tongue to kill Dickinson, and he raised his gun and pulled the trigger. The gun went click as the hammer stopped at half cock. It was a misfire. Dickinson waited. Maybe Jackson would reconsider. But Jackson pulled back the hammer again, aimed, and fired. Charles Dickinson was struck just below the ribs. His friends ran over and caught him as he fell. They tried to stop the flow of blood, but the ball had passed straight through, leaving a gaping hole. Charles Dickinson bled to death at age 27. His tongue had caused his death. The next time you look at a $20 bill, remember that God's mercy is the only reason you find Andrew Jackson's picture there. Andrew Jackson's young life was filled with conflict because he could not control his tongue. He survived, but the impact was costly. You know, he lived the rest of his life with a bullet lodged beside his heart that caused severe hemorrhaging spells throughout his life. Now, hearing about this probably makes us thankful we don't live in the Wild West days. But the Apostle James will tell us in chapter 3 that nothing has changed in human history. We may not walk around with pistols, but what we're packing is no less destructive. James writes in chapter 3, starting in verse 5, "So also the tongue is a small member, but it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison." Did you take all that in that James says? Let's divide it into categories that help us better understand our tongue. The first category would be the character of our tongue. Our tongues are microcosms, concentration points of this world's evil. In fact, James says it's its own world of unrighteousness. Now, our tongues may not necessarily be more wicked than any other part of our body, but our words can promote virtually every form of wickedness. Too often, evil deeds are added then to evil words. How many fights have you seen that don't involve angry words being tossed around? Before an evil deed is committed, the tongue is at work. The second category is the tongue's influence. Our uncontrolled tongue stain our whole person and set on fire the entire course of life. Some people annoy us, maybe because they're lazy or self-centered and thoughts enter our minds, but then our tongues become a release point for this anger. Does letting it loose make it go away? No, often the tongue continues to create more evils and influence those around us all our life long. The third category, notice the tongue's allegiance. Evils of the tongue are set on fire by hell. Satan gives our tongue its destructive power. Is it any wonder our tongues create so much trouble? Notice the boat that James leaves us in at the end. He tells us we don't have to go to SeaWorld to see that animals are tamed. Actually, it was a reality back in the first century. I mean, look at what man has done. We've tamed all kinds of beasts in this world. We can control every sort of animal. How powerful we are. But wait, wait. How powerful are you, James says. No human being, not one, can tame this little piece of flesh between the jaws, as Martin Luther would say. My friends, this is a serious message. We are in danger every day, and we cannot cut out our tongues, and neither can we wear a muzzle. So my encouragement for you today is that we take seriously James' words, and let us learn to start our day by praying that no corrupting talk will come out of our mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Ephesians 5:29. Remember who you are and who you belong to.